we talk a little bit about this, the arrival of these Canadian players. Now, it's not like the NBA where you've got 12, 13, 14 Canadians in the NBA. You got 20 guys that started the NCAA tournament this year that are Canadians. I mean, that's a real movement. But we have four, five, six players that are kind of on the map right now. Do you have a theory as to whether success of one breeds success in others?
I do think that's the case. I think, you know, maybe you got to give a little credit to Raonic and Pospisil, even though no one's talking about Raonic anymore at this point, because you have the two youngsters on the men's side, and even Jeannie Bouchard, all of a sudden she's an afterthought.
Yep.
With Andreescu being what she is. So what's amazing to me is that it's not that they're suddenly producing some players, but that the players they're producing are the ones that are the most talked about. I mean, not just in Canada, but kind of all over the world. Felix right now is on fire, obviously. And, you know, there's been talk about him for a long time. I heard about him 4 years ago. I went and watched him play at Eddie Herr in a junior 18 and under tournament when he was 15. And I knew then, this in my mind, this is a, you know, a top 10 player at some point, and maybe even number one, if depending on how his head is, because that's hard to gauge. On the men's game, it's always a couple of points that make a difference, really. So, you know, we'll see how tough he is mentally.
Felix or Dennis, who do you think will be the better player?
I kind of, if I had to put money down right now, I'd put it on Felix.
You would, huh?
Dennis has, yeah. Dennis has that nice leftiness is something you can't teach. And it's a bit an advantage in tennis because the big points on your serve, the break points, almost all happen in the ad court where a lefty has an advantage with that serve,
yeah,
swinging it out wide to the backhand. So that's an advantage for a lefty. But I just feel as though Felix, I saw them both practicing. They were at IMG, which is where I'm working now. They're at IMG during December, both of them, working separately. They never played with each other. And I was enjoying watching Felix's practices and his footwork and how wide a base he keeps as he moves. He's so athletic. And Dennis was more working on technique things, which I thought by this point, you know, you've sort of got your technique. So I was a little concerned with that and how he would start the year. And, you know, it's wrong because he's obviously started the year reasonably well.
Yeah, Jimmy, as people likely know, works with us at the Rogers Cup television broadcast in the summer, and we teased you about being an honorary Canadian. You pronounced yourself one when Shapovalov beat Nadal and made his run a couple of years ago. On that note, you having had exposure to these guys before a lot of people in the bigger tennis world did, is there a little bit of pride for you? Not so much in the sense of you're wearing a maple leaf on your chest, but the fact that there was almost like a secret. You've known about these guys a little longer than everybody else. And is there kind of a tendency to say, I told you so, or at least feel good that you saw this coming?
Well, here's the thing. I grew up in Buffalo, so I was awfully close to Canada anyway. And so, yes, I have enjoyed, because I've been doing the Rogers Cup with you guys, I have enjoyed seeing the Canadians have success. I'm actually, while I commentate, you're not supposed to be cheering, but I kind of do cheer for the boys when they're out there. So, you know, it's nice to see. Look, I thought Raonic, when he came up, was going to be perennial top 10 guy because of the weapon with the serve and forehand, that combination. He's had a lot of injuries. He's not as exciting to watch. That's the other thing. Is
right.
These two new guys, they're the most exciting players to watch, Shapovalov and Felix. So that's what makes it even better. We get to show them, and they're who the people want to see.
Well, let's turn to the other side of the coin, the young lady that has come out of nowhere to make a name for herself. Bianca Andreescu pulls out of her fourth-round match in Miami. I think she's already had 32 or 33 matches already this year, which is too many. And she got pooped and got a bad shoulder and probably is going to sit on the sidelines for a couple of weeks. She doesn't look to me like a flash in the pan. Do you think this is sustainable? Is she the real deal?
I mean, the way she's been this year, yes, you'd have to say yes. The thing I love about her game, which throughout the women's game, this is not necessarily the case, is she has a lot of variety. In the women's game, they hit the ball very hard, flat, hard, straight ahead. And she does all kinds of different tactics, which I love. So she'll hit a high looping moon ball, and players aren't accustomed to that anymore, and they'll back up. And as soon as they back up, she steps up to the baseline and then rips. She can slice. She can drop shot. She seems to be mentally very tough. That's the other part. She's breaking into the scene and having no trouble when she's in a tight match against Angelique Kerber or any top player. It doesn't seem to faze her. So those are things I don't think you can teach. I believe she's on her way to being a top tenner.
How old were you when you broke into the men's tour?
Well, my dad always told me I peaked at 12.
Those were the cash matches, and, right, against the pros that he set up?
Yeah, that was, you know, there's a little truth to that. I beat two guys with an ATP ranking when I was 12 in a money tournament.
The reason I ask is
I got to the top 10 when I was 18.
There you go. So. And that's sort of the essence of it. You played in an era where it was not unusual on both the men's and ladies' side. Mm-hmm. For the best players to be, well, you peaked, it seemed, in your early
20s. Especially the women. Right?
And the women, like you had 13 and 14-year-olds winning mm-hmm. tournaments and being top five in the world. So here's Andreescu, who is, I think, 18 years of age, who would be, 30 years ago, that would have been not unusual. Today, it's very young. Why has tennis evolved in that way, Jimmy?
Well, I think it's because all of a sudden we have athletes. Big, on the men's side, the guys are just too big, too strong, and it's become such a physical battle that I don't think teenagers can cope with the physicality that the top players are showing. I mean, when you're there live in a tennis match right now and you're watching the men play, I can't believe how hard they hit it, how fast they move, and how long they still have rallies with that type of pace. So that part makes it almost impossible for a teenage boy to be that physical. Having said that, Shapovalov and Felix are both teenage
boys. They're
both
young.
They seem to be hanging in there. They seem to be hanging in there pretty well. On the women's side, I actually think they've sort of made it difficult because of the way the ranking system works. They don't let – because of Jennifer Capriati – she was 13 years old in the semifinals of the U.S. Open, then got arrested a couple of years later. And because of that whole fiasco, the WTA changed the rule so you can't play that many tournaments until you're 17 or 18. So it's manufactured somewhat in the women's. I'd like to see what would happen if one of the great juniors could just play every week.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Anisimova is an example of someone I think would already be ranked top 30 in the world had she been allowed to play full schedule.
It's like the NBA where they may change again, but making the guys stay, play a year in college or somewhere else, not straight out of high school. One thing I want to ask you is that you mentioned Raonic, and as he's been the best player that this country's ever produced, and on the men's side, and reached the highest ranking, and has gotten close in Grand Slams, and obviously born at the wrong time because of the era, particularly now the big three with Murray out of the picture, it kind of took care of the prime of his career. How much of the prime of Shapovalov and Felix's career are these guys going to take? How you mentioned the great athletes, how long they play, how long till we finally see a real drop in the level of those guys at the top? It's been forever.
I mean, can Federer keep going for another?
It's just unreal.
10 years? I mean, it seems impossible. But he's shocked me so far. He hasn't really dropped off at all. I've been talking about how physical the game is. I remember playing a tournament, just to give you an idea, of when I was 35 years old. I hadn't played in probably 2 years. I went and played a tournament. I couldn't walk by the third match of that tournament. I was so stiff. And that was when I was 35, 2 or 3 years younger than Roger. So I don't understand how he's doing it, but whatever. He's able to. And then, you worry about Nadal just because of knees, and there's always, it seems as though he's breaking down slightly. And Djokovic, if he wants to, he's got another 5, 6, 7 years. So we'll see if he'll keep that up for that long.